for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Message this morning, as I mentioned earlier as we began in worship, has to do with romance. And I'm finishing up this series of messages on love gifts. Talking about relationships. How do we relate to one another in ways that is pleasing and honoring to God? So this morning I want to talk about romance. Anybody want to talk about romance? Well, probably not. But you know, if you listen to your music, I doubt if you're going to listen to very many songs that you're not hearing songs about romance. Or I doubt if you turn on your TV and you're watching programs, it won't be very long that you're watching something about how relationships are being interacted or engaged with one another. Now, the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about what matters most in healthy relationships. And the first week, we talked about true love. Love that comes and was instituted, in my understanding, from God. The second week we talked about understanding each other, the differences between men and women and how they think and often how they react and how they engage with one another. We had 1 week that we weren't able to be together because of the snow, but last week we talked about communication. And today we're going to conclude the series by talking about romance. To give love and to be loved are the most precious gifts life has to offer. Why? Because God created us out of love. And He created us for the purpose to love. Now, in our gospel reading, in Mark 10, we read that a man will be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Now, that's a great graphic picture of what it means to have a God-designed relationship or marriage. You become one. You walk hand in hand together. You talk face to face, honestly. You give your heart to heart to each other. Now, I think connectedness is synonymous with oneness. In other words, the Bible talks about oneness. I want to talk about connectedness, which is what I think the Bible says God intended for a relationship, for there to be this connectedness, this oneness. Now, here comes the hard question for us. In your relationship with those significant people around you, in your marriages, in your other relationships, are we connected to each other? Are we just the opposite? Are we disconnected from each other? Is there oneness in those important relationships that God wants us to have with one another? And maybe the bigger question is, if you're not connected, how do you get connected? How do you have that oneness with each other? Now, that's where romance comes in. It's my belief, my understanding from the teaching, that romance is what puts the connectedness together, to put the oneness together. Romance is how we act towards each other. How do we know how we're supposed to act toward each other in romance? Well, you've been reading this? You know, back in the beginning of the year, I asked you to read along with me. We've been putting an insert out that says if you read a certain chapter a day, that you could read through the whole Bible this year. Now, we've already, if you've been reading along with the schedule, Genesis, you've read through Job, you've read through the Gospel of Matthew, you're reading in the Psalms, you're reading in the Proverbs, and even more through the book of Exodus, if you're reading. Because it's important for us to be reading the Word of God, because that's how we know what it is that God wants us to do in our lives. So romance, if we want to know what that's like, then we need to be reading God's love letter. We need to be reading the Bible. And it's in there, in God's love letter, in the Bible, that it talks about how we're to love one another, how we should relate to one another, how we should care for one another. And it has a lot to say in the Bible about marriage and about romance and about relationships. So if you read, if you'll see God's plan there as you read the Bible, it has a lot to say. Now, that's one of the main ways that God communicates us. Often people are asking, where is God? Why doesn't God interact with my life? Well, what is it? We're just going through the motions of religion. We're going through the motions of being a Christian. Where is God talking to me? If you're reading the Bible, you already know that. Because that is one of the main ways that God speaks to us. That is one of the main ways that God communicates to us, is through His Word. And so by reading the Bible, by reading the Word of God, that's where we hear God speak. So, what is God saying to us about romance? It says, romance. Gentleness to one another. It's being patient with one another. It's caring for one another. Romance is being complimenting each other. It's being devoted to each other. Romance for a person is telling them that they're special, and that they're appreciated, and that they're loved, even in their brokenness and with their faults. A person needs to know that they matter. And if you pay more attention to other people than you do to the own that person in your relationship or to your partner, if you give more compliments to others than you do to your own spouse or the people in your relationship, such as you go into a store or a restaurant and you're kind to the waitress and you say nice things to them, or you're with a friend and you treat them nice and you say good things to them, or you see a neighbor and you're treating them nice and sharing with them, if you're doing that with other people and you're not doing it with the person who's special in your relationship, then they begin to think that other people are more important to you than they are. A wife wants to know if her husband is still attracted to her. Here's how we guys sound stupid sometimes when we're trying to answer that question. If a woman wants to know if we still think they're attracted, we'll say, well, you're the one I'm with, aren't I? I'm still here, ain't I? I'm still around. Maybe some of you guys never said anything stupid like that. I'm afraid I have from time to time. I hope I'm getting better with that. But a woman will say, yes, but she feels cheated. She feels jealous because there are no compliments often given to her. They're given to other people. She hears it when you're around and dealing with other people. It's dished out generously to everybody else, but not to her. Men, do we compliment our wives, or are those special in our relationship? She still needs to hear that she is. How important she is, how wonderful that you think she is. I mentioned over the last couple of weeks that you need to demonstrate your feelings for others, for those special to you, by giving gifts, small gifts, things that you can demonstrate love. But you know, no matter what you give, because we men a lot of times often think that if we're providing a house, providing food on the table, providing things, that we often think that ought to substitute for anything we would say as far as complimenting that somehow substitutes that. But it doesn't do that. The attention you give is more important than the gifts you give. But you have to be available. It is hard for some people to show affection to their special relationship. Why? Because there are some people who grew up who never saw their parents show affection. They never saw their parents kiss. They never saw their parents being kind to each other. Saw them holding hands together. In other words, there was no model of what romance looked like. But we often know that you can learn these kind of skills. You can learn these kind of things. But if people can learn them, why don't they? If we see so many relationships having such struggles, why is there that problem? Because the couple takes each other for granted. They have this kind of me mentality, entitlement mentality, that I deserve it, and I don't have to give it, but you need to give it to me. Or because the person can just simply be selfish. With that kind of attitude, the relationship becomes a very serious problem. I have been counseling a couple for the last couple months on the same kind of situation. I have, over the years, counseled many couples. I have even struggled in my own relationship of trying to be more of the person I should be because of selfishness. Children need to see a loving relationship in order to know how to love someone. You can do damage to children when you raise them in a loveless relationship. The best thing for your children is to see you fall in love all over again with your mother or your father. In other words, they need to see that love that a mother or father, a husband and a wife have with each other. That's how children learn. So what I often ask is, why do couples wait until they have a problem before they are wanting to do something about the relationship? Because most people will not change until there is pain or a problem. In other words, people often don't do what they should do until there becomes a great serious problem already. Until there is pain, one will not seek to grow or to stretch. One of the problems couples experience is that they become strangers, even in their own home. The love that brought them together had been ignored. Now, did you hear that? The love that brought them together has been ignored. When is the last time that couple spent time together working on the things that brought them together in the first place? When is the last time you've been away by yourselves, courting each other, dating each other? You would not have fallen in love if you hadn't spent time courting each other, spending time directly focused on the other. And this is the problem. And I often say this in counseling. You will not stay in love if you do not spend time courting each other. Whatever you did to win a person fall in love with you, you will have to work three times as much to keep them happy with you. Did you hear that? That is tough. Often a couple, when they get together and they fall in love, they think it's just going to sail smoothly forever after that way. But what happens is, when you become engaged in a relationship that is meaningful to you, you're going to have to work three times harder than you did to get that couple together, to keep it together. And that often is why we see this breakdown, because people think that they can stay in love and have the relationship without having to do anything. And that is so erroneously false. Couples who are not connected, after they've been away from home for a good bit of time and separated from each other, they will go home and they look forward to that. They look forward to going home. But soon after they arrive home and they are ignored or complained about, they become very upset within themselves deeply, because there is a loneliness. There's a desperate feeling. Why? Because they feel like they don't matter. Counselors who specialize in relationships say you should anticipate coming home. And if you've not seen each other for any length of time, you should, the first thing you do when you enter the home is you should give a 10-second kiss to each other. Now, you want to know something? A 10-second kiss is a long time. But why are they saying that? Because it says it will make you feel connected and close. It sets the tone for the rest of the evening. Now, you come in the door and you start complaining, or you come in the door and you're angry. You come in the door and something is wrong. That sets the tone for the rest of the evening of how you engage. If you come and you have that 10-second kiss, that sets the tone for how you want to engage with that person at that moment and for the rest of the evening. You want to have closeness, oneness. And the counselor will point out, you know, people often will greet their pets with affection, but ignore their partners. Now, that's not a criticism. What that is to say that the pet and the owner engaging each other in a very meaningful way. And it makes the relationship between the pet and the owner something good. The problem is that the couple often don't engage with each other that way. And that sets another message. A person wants to be appreciated and admired and loved. They want to know that you give more importance to them than to any other thing in life. Romance is sending out a message of how special and desirable and how wonderful a person you are. Romance says that number one on my list of priorities, and that you matter more than anyone else or anything else. That person wants to be number one in your life. Romance, or love, is that which causes one person to desire the most good to come to another person, and that they will do whatever it takes to make that person realize their best life that they can. When you are wanting to make the other person's life the best that they can have, that is when you show physical love. That means there's kindness, there's devotion, there's gentleness, there's commitment, there's caring, there's attention. And you will make the other one feel cared for, and cherished, and loved. I remember in some of my counseling classes at seminary, the teacher said, relationship starts in the morning. And I'm thinking, all right. And what he meant was, it starts in the morning with how you wake up and how you begin to treat about them. Some people never learn that. Some people never think that they need to treat the other person in this kind of caring way. Relationships are all about how you treat each other. Do you have a relationship that needs some kind of renewal? A relationship that needs some kind of new treatment? A relationship that needs to be where it should be in treating each other the way it should. Often people will come together, they'll meet someone, they'll have romance, and that begins to create a oneness, and they date each other, and there's this growing a feeling of importance and appreciation and specialness, and people have this oneness and closeness, but then as time sets in, they become disconnected, which happens, and it happens because they ignore each other. What would you say if the person in a special relationship with you asked, "Do you like being with me?" That's an important question. Do you like being with me? How would you answer that? There are some who think that, well, I know the answer to that question. It's easy. But the other person might be feeling inside, "You don't know what I'm experiencing." To be honest, I really don't want or like being with you. I believe that God designed this oneness factor so that we would enjoy being with one another. And we do that by the way that we treat the other person, by the way that we give attention to. If you want a deep relationship, if you want intimacy, if you want connectedness, you have to have those shared experiences that come from working at it and doing the good things and doing the right things. Think about when you were in a courting relationship sometime in your life. What was the fun things that you did that caused you to want to be with the other person? Do those things. You know, a lot of times, you find that in relationships, people keep a diary or they write notes. They write their thoughts about the pleasure of being with another person. We call them love notes or love letters. And you used to write those love notes, but why did they stop? I'm not talking about writing a 5-page, you know, dissertation about the love that you feel for a person. Why not just get some sticky notes and just simply jot down some thoughts about the enjoyment of the other person and sticking them around places so that the other person would see those and know what you're thinking inside and what you feel. Write them on an occasional basis. It's part of enjoying one another. Now listen. Another problem that I find in counseling and other situations is that you can't enjoy one another if you're too busy. We could probably attribute 50% of our disconnected to the fact that we are so busy in our day and time. We have the means and the availability to do way more than we physically, possibly, can do. We put those on our schedule. We put those in our timeline. We try to do so much. And when we don't have the time or the energy, you can't connect with another person. You don't encourage the other person. You're not affectionate to the other person. You don't listen to the other person. When you're too busy, opportunities for intimacy go ignored. All because busyness has blinded us to the eyesight, to the wonder of our spouse, because we've got so much to do. What does it look like when we're connected? you're connected, in the way that the Bible talks about, what would it look like? What is this oneness that the Bible says a man will leave and he will unite with his wife and he will become one? Not two, but one. This is what happens. You will begin to communicate openly and honestly and regularly about what matters most in your heart. You'll encourage one another. You'll celebrate each other's uniqueness, and you'll complement each other's strength. You'll accept and tolerate each other's weaknesses and work together to improve those. You'll resolve conflict constructively. You'll make decisions mutually. You'll face pressures that you have in life courageously. You'll serve each other joyfully. You'll tease each other playfully. You'll reveal failure to each other shamelessly. That's the kind of oneness that the Bible talks about. The kind of relationship that God designed. I just want to conclude this thought. Romance is how you act towards each other. So act with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength with love. Loving God, we come before you today to be reminded from your word that you have designed for relationships to be one in which there is a love that produces joy and produces wonder and amazement and kindness and connected. God, you know often in our brokenness that's not what we experience. So Lord, we're just calling upon you today that you might come, and that God, that you might change our heart this morning. God, through the love-giving power of your love, that you will allow us to find healing in our brokenness often, Father. Show us how that you want us to love one another. And God, we start that by loving you. So God, we just pray that we will surrender our hearts this morning and ask you to give us the strength that we need to be healed and to love and to be what you would want us to be, Lord. We know this is possible through Jesus Christ, and we come, and we surrender, and we give our heart to and you this day. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, with all my mind, all my heart, soul, and strength. In other words, I will love you with all that I have and all that I am. Brothers and sisters, go now. Proclaim the life